Welcome to worship, everyone. It's great to be back with you. I was on sabbatical for 6 weeks, and I was in the office last week, and then I went to Rancho Santa Marta, so this is the first time I've been here standing in front of you in quite a while, and it's so good to see so many of you here. As you can tell from the bulletin, today is Rancho Santa Marta Sunday, so we're going to be hearing testimonies from people who were there. I was actually one of them, and I am in the video in case you doubt it. I was actually there and did a lot of work, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. So thank you so much for praying for us, those of you who were not there, and it just made such a difference. This was a very, felt to me, very smooth-running mission trip, and your prayers made that happen. So it's great to be back. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and let's worship God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise, for you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And you give us the privilege to be channels of your grace, to share the love that we've received with others. So, Lord, today we wait for what you would say to us. And we ask that you would draw near to us as we draw near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow, well, thank you to Trevor and all the team members who made that video. That was amazing. So my name's Mike Clark. Last year was my first year at Rancho Santa Marta. I had avoided going to Rancho Santa Marta from the beginning. I had such a great experience last year that I volunteered to help coordinate the trip this year. So I'll provide a summary for the congregation. First of all, we dedicated this year's trip to Don Eldridge, and that's because at our final planning meeting 2 weeks ago, it was that morning that Don passed away, and some of you may remember that Don Eldridge organized the first church mission trip to Mexico back in the early 70s, and so that had an influence on many of us within the church. It really, I think, prompted our church to take a more hands-on approach to mission since that time, so we're very grateful to Don. Now, we were originally scheduled to take 41 people to Rancho Santa Marta. During our 30-day countdown, we had two folks bow out due to other commitments. And then in the final 48 hours, we lost four other team members to illness or unexpected circumstances. It was Terry Diaz, Steve Normant, Brian Phillips, and Sandy Todd. So we departed with 35. Even better, we returned with 35. Of the 35, our youngest was Jesse Nita at age 11. Is Jesse here today? Our oldest team member was Mac Johansson at 84. Where's Mac? So we were truly an intergenerational team. Our Bible theme this year was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, which reads, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." That verse guided us all week as we experienced a wonderful spirit of encouragement amongst one another, and we spent the week building not only up each other, but building up the facilities at Rancho Santa Marta. Under the skilled leadership of Greg Pro and Doug Gipps, our projects included, as you saw on the video, first of all, excavating and laying footings for a new eight-room residence for the older residents called the Victor House. We love Victor because if you walk up to him, he'll come up to you and he'll say, "I'm Victor. I speak English." And then you go, "Oh, great, Victor. It's nice to meet you." And he goes, "I'm Victor. I speak English." He responds that to everything you say because that's the only English he knows. But he endears himself to us greatly. But what the folks at Rancho Santa Marta have discovered is some of the students, you know, when they reach 18, there's no other place for them to go. So they kind of try to incorporate them into the work at the ranch. And so they've got this group of older guys. And so their board decided they would build a room for those folks. And so we were part of laying the foundation for the new Victor House. We installed brick pavers in the courtyard of the new middle school wing that we helped build last year. We installed about 700 feet of ceramic tiling in one of the new special education classrooms. We did various painting projects, poured various concrete projects, dug a trench and replaced a gas line for one of the houses, sewed drapes, and then also sewed weighted blankets and weighted stuffed animals for the autistic students, ran electrical lines to the pump house and other various electrical projects, built and painted three large bookcases for the library, provided computer technology assistance, conducted daily educational crafts programs, not only for the resident students, but the larger school that they have there as well. So about 240 students came through the crafts program. We provided in-service seminars for the Rancho Santa Marta teachers and house parents, prepared a barbecue and pinata contest, as you saw, and also gave each teacher a care package that many of you helped us prepare several weeks ago at our last service worship in January. And the teachers there were very appreciative of that thoughtful gesture. Each evening, Bruce made a spectacular campfire. We thought it might be visible from the one of the satellites up above. Pastor Kim led us in worship each evening, and then Trevor Kelly and Kayla led us in singing. So we had a wonderful evening time of fellowship. As usual, Sandy lavished us with great food at each meal. Yay, Sandy! For the first time, we asked Bill Johns and Brian Phillips to prepare safety briefings each day. And so that was one of the things we did at breakfast, was receive a safety briefing. It was really important, since we lost our nurse at the last minute, that we be safe all week. I also want to thank Veronica and the church office for all of her logistical support. Since this was my first time helping coordinate, there's a tremendous amount of work. It takes lots of people to make this happen. And the prayers from the congregation are absolutely essential. So the highlight for me, watching 35 separate individuals come together, function as a team, encourage one another, and accomplish a great deal in one week. So thank you very much for your support.
Hi there. I'm Doug, and I was appointed the lead of the Victor House project. So this was supposed to be the grand project that we were to be working on during this trip. It was the main project. The plan was to pour the concrete footings on Monday, then start removing the forms and filling in the foundation with dirt and tamping it all down on Tuesday and Wednesday. A lot of dirt needed to get put in there. Then lay out the sewage plumbing on Wednesday afternoon, and then by Thursday to pour the concrete slab. So that was the plan. And Monday morning, two concrete trucks showed up to start pouring the footings for the foundation. And after the second truck finished, it wasn't enough. They didn't finish the footings, and there was no more concrete that could be brought in until Wednesday of the week. So that pretty much killed the grand plans of, you know, completing the entire foundation of the house. So instead, you know, the team fanned out and worked on the many other projects that Mike just highlighted to you. So the crew was still able to keep very, very, very busy. I think this was my fifth year of going to Santa Marta, and I always come back so inspired, so energized with God's love, and just so humbled at what I see going on there. I marvel at the beauty, as you can see on the board there, just the beauty of the area, and the grandeur of God's creation when you see the sun setting over the mountains at night and you see the millions of stars there in the evening. I'm inspired by how God has taken a group of, you know, almost 40 very, very different people and put them together and taught them to work as a team to accomplish so much with so little and so little amount of time. And I'm always just completely humbled when I see the dedicated staff there at Rancho Santa Marta. They're working so hard, and they have so little there available to them, and they give such joy, happiness, security, and love to all these young children. And I guess I'm just reminded of, and I'd like to close with Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and, or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So I thank God for giving me the opportunity to serve and to be served. Thanks.
Friends, as we sing this next song together, let's remind ourselves as we sing just how central Christ is to our faith, to our very person, and to everything we do. So would you stand and let's sing together.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Trevor Walker, and I was responsible for the tech projects down in Rancho. I'm not going to bore you guys with those details. Every time I talked about it down in Rancho, all the high school students start chanting nerd, and I figured you guys probably don't care. But the good news is we got internet in a bunch of classrooms that didn't have it before, which is pretty cool. Yeah, right? So I first went to Rancho last year. I had a really amazing experience. It was actually my first mission trip that I went on. And so I had that fresh, like, I'm going to change the world attitude when I got back. I think I was a little overzealous in my enthusiasm because in the months leading up to Rancho 2016, I just assumed that Kelly was going to be my mission partner, and this time we were going to change the world together. And we were really excited, right? We went to the meetings, we signed up, everything seemed in place until about a week before. We were talking about the trip and what needed to get done before leaving bright and early on that Saturday morning. And the list was endless, as always. As a music teacher, Kelly had a lot of extracurricular activities that week and was visibly stressed, and I made the rookie mistake of commenting, you know, you don't really seem very excited to go change the world. And she just kind of gave me that really look, like, are you really want to go there right now? So clearly we weren't on the same page regarding expectations for the trip. As the week went on, though, more and more things were checked off the list, but the stress level really didn't go down. So finally on Saturday morning, we arrived at church at 3:30, prepping our students for the trip. When the van doors finally shut at 4 a.m. and we got on the road, it was pretty interesting. The stress really all fell away. When you finally clicked them off at the border, we were really in a different world, right? Disconnected from all the stuff that kind of kept us here and kept us distracted. When we got down there, we both found our niches and projects and, thanks to Doug and Greg, found ways to productively fill every minute of the day. I guess the point of this, I don't really like the phrase, when God closes a door, he opens a window, because sometimes it's not true. That statement kind of gives you the implication that God will give you a way out of something. Sometimes God closes the van door and sends you off to Mexico with no way out, but he knows it's going to be for his glory, right? God closing the door wasn't a negative thing at all, it turns out. It cut us off from our lives here and focused us on his people and on his mission down in Mexico. I can happily report that Kelly had a wonderful time, so don't worry. right? And it was awesome doing mission work with my wife. We kind of have an unwritten rule between us that we must serve in the majority of our ministries together. It's an amazing opportunity to kind of build those shared experiences with your partner, because you know these experiences will stay with you for the rest of your life. Experiences that'll point us both back to God when we become too distracted with our current situations. So I guess the point of all this is, people who have spouses who stayed home and are trying to recruit, please tread lightly with them and make sure they're all on the same page next year. And spouses who have people who went on the trip, trust them when they say it was an amazing experience and consider joining us in 2017.
Buenos dias. Me llamo Karen. This was my first trip to Rancho Santa Marta and my first mission trip ever. So I was very nervous, especially the day before we left when I came to drop off my luggage and Mike Clark said, "Congratulations, you are our new children's ministry director." And I kind of freaked out, as he'll tell you. But thanks to Terry's amazing preparation, and fortunately I had met with her the week before because I was planning to go as her helper, And all of a sudden, I was in charge of the children's program. But she did an amazing job of putting together for us a lesson on the heart, El Corazón, which I had an amazing team, Sandy, Kayla, Celeste, and I, with some help from other people cutting out felt hearts. We taught about 240 kids, as Mike mentioned. Every kid in the school came to us for a 40-minute lesson. We did it by grade, so we had kindergartners through ninth graders. So we had to tweak the lesson a little bit, but it was an amazing lesson on the heart that Terry had gotten from the American Heart Association, and Sandy transposed it on the spot into Spanish. And we had several activities that the kids really enjoyed, including everyone made one of these heart pillows. So you can imagine we had to cut out 500 felt hearts. So that was a lot of work. but they loved it. My favorite part of the day was actually in the afternoons. Of the 240 students in the school, about 40 of them actually live on site. And every afternoon we had one house full of kids come to us from 3:30 to 4:30 as part of their after-school routine. We fed them a snack of popcorn and apple slices, which they loved, and then we had an opportunity to just sit and talk with them one-on-one and get to know them and play games with them. We had footballs, frisbees, jacks, jump ropes, sidewalk chalk, which they really loved. One girl drew an amazing picture of Sandy. That was very adorable. And they just loved spending time with us. That was my favorite time of the week. I got to meet a little boy that Ryan had talked a lot about last year after his trip there. That was cool. We actually showed him a picture of Ryan, and he remembered him. And then Kelly mentioned that she was his sister, so that was cool. I got to tour the school, which was also great. Working in a school myself, it was really fun to see how they learn and study there. So I also really enjoyed getting to know some of our high school and college kids better at mealtime, and also sharing a bunkhouse with 10 other ladies. It was a great time to cement some friendships and make some new friends, which I did. And my favorite Bible verse has always been Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And it was very cool to see a place like Rancho Santa Marta where they take care of kids who may not have any hope or future if it wasn't for the love and the care and the experiences that they have there. So it was a wonderful time for me. I'm glad that I got past all my anxieties and went, and I will never forget the experience. It was awesome. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we're inspired by the stories of Rancho Santa Marta, and we thank you for keeping us all safe and for giving us these wonderful opportunities to serve you in concrete ways. As has already been said, when we serve you, we receive back so much more than we even give. And Lord, we honor you this morning. We glorify your holy name. We thank you for the faith of people like Bill and Kay and Rod and Tina, who weren't afraid to step out and move forward in faith when you called them to change a pig farm into a school and a home for needy children. Lord, we pray that when you touch our hearts, we too might move forward in faith to do the things you're calling us to do. Lord, help us to believe in your goodness, in your faithfulness, and to move forward without fear. Thank you for this wonderful congregation and for your spirit at work in our midst. Thank you for those who have been touched here by your presence. Thank you for the dedication of so many hard workers here. And thank you for the prayers of this congregation that helped us to accomplish many things down in Rancho Santa Marta. We are grateful for friendships in this church. We are grateful for connection to you, to each other, and to the community at large. Lord, strengthen those connections, O Lord, and make us your church as we build each other up here, learning from our experiences in Rancho Santa Marta, where we built structures. May we also build one another up as people and build this church by the power of your Spirit. Give us the strength to be able to do that moving forward in the days ahead. Lord, we think of those who are, so many are sick with a very bad virus. And we think of those who are not with us this morning or who couldn't come. We pray that you would continue to heal all of those who have been struck down by this very severe bug. We also lift up Edith's family this afternoon as they come to celebrate her life at the memorial service here. We thank you for her and for her wonderful smile and the times that she stood up front here and danced to How Great Thou Art and to the Lord's Prayer and inspired us all. Lord, thank you so much that we were able to know her and experience her and be with the family as they mourn her loss and assure them of your resurrection power. Lord, we also pray for the Eldridge family who are mourning Dawn's loss as well. And we ask, Lord, that you would comfort them and lift them up and give them peace and rest and assurance of your grace and your mercy. Oh, Lord, thank you that we can come and worship today in freedom. Thank you that you have called us to worship and that we are able to do that without a whole lot of persecution. But we pray for those in our world who are not free to worship as we are this morning. We ask that you would be with all Christians everywhere who seek to honor your name and that you would set them free and bring freedom to our world and peace to those in violent areas of our country. Oh, Lord, be with our leaders in the world and in our country. I pray that you would lead them and guide them. And, Lord, as a church, may we be faithful to do small things with great love each and every day so that your name might be glorified and lifted up. Lord, we know that they will know we are Christians because we love one another as you have loved us. And may that become a reality here at West Valley. Thank you so much for who you are and the fact that you have called us by name, called us to follow you. And with faith and with the assurance that you love us and hear our prayers, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning, everybody. My turn. We get to go and have dinner at one of the houses. Everybody, we get in our special groups and we go into the houses and the houses cook us food and we sit at a big table. Well, I went with Celia, I think was our house. Is that right, Sandy? Yeah, Celia. And this always makes it better when you have Sandy with you because you know what's going on. Because she can speak Spanish and interpret for us. I'd have to say that was one of the more moving times this year. These gals were awesome. Besides, we got real Mexican food, which was very, very good. These little girls, they were teenagers. They put a show on for us. They sang. We told jokes. And we were the last ones to get back up to camp, up to the... Because we didn't want to leave. Bill wanted to leave, but we didn't want to leave. I think one of them said he looked old. What did that one gal say? He looked tired or something. I don't know. Oh, so serious. That's what it was. So, yes. But that was, it just, you know, I'm not one really to relate to young people that young. And that was one of the parts that really moved me. And because of Karen Eshoff, she got me involved with throwing the football with them. So I had more interactive with the younger folk. And it was very good. And I actually, looking at the pictures, showing Teresa, I said, oh, that I even knew the youth that went down with us. I said, oh, that's Connor. That's Nathan. So that's a first. So I'm glad I had the opportunity. Everybody really worked hard. I think of Doug Gibbs and his, have him roll up his sleeves if you see him later, his wounds, you know. And when I look at that, and Steve, the Clark's friends, he had some blisters on his hands from using the shovel. And I said, you know what? Because we talk about when we come back, how do we bring Santa Marta back with us? That's one way. For the next 10 days, when you grab something, you're going to go, oh, Santa Marta. Santa Marta. Okay? So that's one way we bring it back. But I do recommend if you have a chance to go, because you will come back changed. Thank you.
This was my second year going to Rancho Santa Marta. Last year was my first mission trip, and it took me out of my comfort zone. It was a new place with new people, and I wasn't quite sure how it was going to be. Going into my second year, I was a lot more comfortable. I was able to see a lot of the kids that remembered me. To be honest, I forgot a lot of their names, but they didn't forget mine. In fact, they had a group photo from last year that they were able to keep in their house. I was amazed that they remembered so many of the names of the people in the photo. They asked questions about everyone and were sad about the people that weren't able to make it. I worked on the Victor House and trenching projects and also helped out Trevor with some of the IT stuff. And I know we talk a lot about the work we did for the ranch, but the work we did for God and the faith of these children was what I was most impressed by. Thank you.
Just to piggyback on what Trevor said, it is actually really cool to go with someone you're in a relationship with to Rancho Santa Marta. Sarah and I have been there 4 years. This was the first year that she wasn't able to go due to work, and it was really stressful for her, me not being at home, but also it was actually more stressful because she wasn't able to go to the ranch. Yeah. Anyways, I've actually been, like I said, been going to Rancho Santa Marta for the last 5 years now. Ever since Kim asked if I was willing to go on a mission trip with another church as a representative for WVPC. That year, we dug a trench, the infamous trench. In the years since then, we have done numerous projects from cement work to electrical work to literally rock collecting. Every year, I'm so amazed at what we can accomplish, and every year, I'm so amazed at what God can accomplish. I was fortunate to go to Rancho Santa Marta as part of three different ministries, actually. Three different ministries that I help with. I was a junior high advisor for the Mita Boys. I was a high school advisor for our high schoolers. And I was also a college advisor for Jordan and Connor. So it was actually the first time that has ever happened that we actually had, you know, college students all the way down to junior hires. So it was actually great. I actually got to work on a project with a junior hire, a high schooler, and a college student, and they didn't kill each other, so that was good too. I taught them well. Year after year, it becomes more apparent to me that Rancho Santa Marta is such a special place. I mentioned this in a devotion one night. Acts 4:32 says, "All the believers were united in heart and in mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had." When you go to Rancho Santa Marta, this verse has such meaning. I've never been in a place where everyone is working towards one goal so clearly, and where people share everything they have, from their talents to their time. Where people truly live Christ-minded. We're all working for one purpose: the kids at Rancho Santa Marta. We were united by our love for the kids at Rancho Santa Marta and for their home there. We try our best to share our love with them through the blankets we make them, through the dinners we partake with them, and through the funny faces we do to make them laugh. Rancho Santa Marta is a gift. It's not only a gift for the kids that live there, but it's a gift for me, and it's a gift for all of us that are able to go there. It's a chance to see a glimpse of what the world should be, what the world could be, to see a glimpse of how Christians can be, and to see a glimpse of how heaven is. Christians sharing one mind, one heart, and praising God. I'm so glad that God planned for me to go to Rancho Santa Marta all those years, and I hope that I can go for as long as God allows me to. Thank you.
Well, this is my third trip to Rancho Santa Marta, and every year I come home tired and swear I'm never going back. And then Bill and I go back anyway. I was one of 3 1/4 persons in the sewing group. We produced 6 sets of curtains, 5 weighted blankets, a horse, 2 fish. And the weighted items were for some of the autistic students. It's been amazing how much work goes into a very fluid, ever-changing, that was for you, Greg, trip. Making sure all paperwork is in, collecting monies, vans are rented, insurance is got, prepare children's supplies for school lessons, food purchased, and funds raised. Thanks to everyone who did the behind-the-scenes work, and especially Brenda, who has been very faithful over the years with luncheons after church in December and the tamale making to help this trip be made successful. It is truly by God's hand in all of this, the amount of work that gets done and safe travels for all of us for all these years. Marva ordered 22 quilts for the houses, and only 18 were received, and 18 is all we needed. You know God had a hand in that. Amen to God, to the joy we are able to bring to the children, teachers, and house parents with our talents. And we thank you all here at West Valley for your prayers in our work for the Lord. And you were a part of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Well, with all the testimonies, it's 10:38, and I just want to say a few words to you. As you've already heard, our memory verse for that time was the following one that I will read to you. It says, "So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore," and there it is, "encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." There's so much about building in Scripture. What is it about a mission trip that's transformative? I mean, is it going to another country? Well, in some ways, yeah, but when we go to another country, sometimes we're tourists and we see new things and we come back with greater cultural awareness, but it's not always transformative. What is it about a mission trip that changes us as Christians to want to be more passionate and more in love with Jesus Christ? I think what it is that we, in a mission trip, we make the gospel tangible. We make it, you know, our church services are filled with words and abstractions sometimes that don't really translate necessarily into real life. Now, we try to do that. But there's something about a mission trip where you get away and where there are projects for you to do and things for you to build. And then afterwards you look and you say, look at that. We did this. That make the gospel come to life, not just for you, but for those around you too. I think going on a mission trip is transformative because when we do this, we're putting the gospel into action. And it's something the world can understand, isn't it? They might not understand why we gather to sing. I remember a Stanford student here one time and never been to church before. She came out and she said to me, why are you singing? And I didn't know what to say. I was standing at the door. I said, let's talk about that later. You know, the non-Christian world does not understand church anymore. We're in a post-Christian era. But when you build a house, or when you, you know, help electricity to flow, or you create internet in classrooms that didn't have it before, or you teach children about God's heart for them, all of a sudden it begins to make sense. And we who give can see it, and also the folks that we serve can see it. And it's real, and it's exciting. And my thought in closing all this today is simply this, that we can do that right here too. We don't just have to come to church and sing and listen to good words, but I'm thinking this year is a year of building up the body of Christ. Just like we built real homes, we can build each other up here in tangible ways. We can write the note. We can make the phone call. The scripture says, outdo one another. Outdo one another in showing love. That's tangible. We do something to show love. We talk about it all the time. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. You know, that just rolls off our tongue. But think about that a minute. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a pretty big commandment. That is a pretty big commandment that can take our whole lives to really, truly realize. So, yes, we bring back the calluses. And I loved what Bruce said about every time you grab something, you're going to think Rancho Santa Marta. But we can bring back the tangible good works for one another, too. Building one another. Karen Clark gave me this cross. She said, here, this is for you. We bought this at the flea market in San Vicente for you. This is tangible. That built me up this morning, all right? It built me up. Concrete, loving. The thing that touched me most was I was in the, for a while, I was in the children's ministry team helping out, and one of the classes, they said, these are really special needs kids. And you could tell from their faces, this special class for these kids, you know, were just slow learners. And you could tell from their eyes, the shape of their faces. Some of them really were struggling. One little boy couldn't hear. And they would teach. They taught the kids sign languages. And Sandy was so great. She, you know, we couldn't have done it without her because she was translating the whole time. And at the end of this one session, she went around and she said, what prayer requests do you have? She asked the children. And this one little girl in the special needs class said, you know, and it was pray for my mom, pray for my dad, pray for the work and all of that. And this one little girl said, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your team. I want to pray that God blesses you. I thought, wow, here I am feeling sorry for you, and you want to pray for me. You know, what a blessing that was. That was a concrete thing that she said that built me up. And believe me, if she's praying for us as a church, we're going to move mountains. So often, it's those that have nothing that trust God all the more, isn't it? And we can learn from that. We who live in the Bay Area, who have so much, that we can trust God to give us the strength to build each other up in tangible ways as a congregation. That we can outdo one another in showing affection. That we can go beyond the norm in loving each other. That's the gospel in action. And that's what Jesus Christ has called us to do. So that's how I hope Rancho Santa Marta seeps into our congregation for the next year. The other thing I just want to say in closing is we're working on a sponsorship program that's just right on the cusp of happening, where we're going to be able to give you pictures of the kids, and you're going to be able to sponsor them if you like, so you can be even more a part of Rancho Santa Marta, even if you can't make it down there. Another tangible way to build them up, to build ourselves up as we give in faith and as we learn to put the gospel in action. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for your blessing and for your transforming power in our lives. These experiences change us. And we're so grateful for all you've given us here in the Bay Area, Lord. But may it never distract us or pull us away from having deep, abiding faith in your goodness and your provision. Help us to trust you more as a congregation, and me too, Lord. And Lord, help us to put the gospel into tangible form, to do the things, to do what you're calling us to do, Lord, because we know that love is a verb. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes this all possible. We lift up all those people in Rancho Santa Marta. Bless them this year. Give them the resources they need to carry on that amazing ministry. And bless us as a congregation that we might continue to build one another up in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out in the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, and may God inspire your hearts to build his kingdom here. Amen.